Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 15 lines from the top. You'll notice in the middle of the line, Omar Mar, we're reading a section of Gemara found between two framed Tanaic sources. In our previous shiur, we discussed the case of a tanur that became tomei, and what is necessary to remove the tara from it, being that you're talking about something that you don't immerse in a mikveh, which would be the standard procedure. We're dealing with a clay item, which naturally does not have tara in a mikveh, and we discussed the idea of cutting it down to a below a minimum size, which would render it tahor. In the context of that discussion, the tanur, which is a cylindrical shaped object, we mentioned that it shall be cut or divided into three parts, that way guaranteeing that you don't have any one part. If you had cut it, let us say, into two parts, then one of the two would have constituted the row of the majority, and hence the feeling is that it wouldn't have lost its tumah. In this context, the Gemara raises a contradiction. The gist of the contradiction is we're going to see from a new Tanaic source that one can achieve tara of a tanur even without the cutting it down into three parts. That represents a contradiction. Now the Gemara, Omar Mar, Cholko Lishloisha. This is what we saw in our previous discussion, the need to divide a tanur that's tomei into three parts. Viraminu, we raise a contradiction. The Tanaic source is framed as is customary in our Gemara marking system. Tanur trilaso arbo. The tanur, in order to constitute a tanur and capable of receiving tumah, would have to be a minimum height of 4 tefachim. Ushorov arba, divrei Rabbi Meir. And if it were larger, and happened to absorb tumah and broke down to a point that it's 4 tefachim, it still would be mekabel tumah. Ushorov means that which remains. If that which remains is 4 tefachim, it will still be capable of absorbing tumah, or it will retain the tumah that it had. V'chachomim omrim b'med v'amamurim b'godol. When is this the case? That's if you were dealing with a large tanur. Aval b'koton, however, if you were dealing with a small one, and Rashi explains the difference being that the large one was made for what a tanur would suggest, baking and cooking or roasting. However, a small one, this is something that's made for children to play with. Trilaso kolshehu, mishetigmar malachtoi. The translation is that it's will absorb tumah for the first time, even if it's of a minimum size, once it is completed. Shiorov berubo. Now, we have to point out that this source itself will be dealt with later in the Gemara and refined. We now encounter a bracketed section. You can see it's indicated with the brackets and a bracket length indicator, a vertical dashed dotted line that you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Let's just skip the bracketed section for a minute to get to the main point, the main kasha. Taimo diko shiorov dalid. why is there Kabbalah's Tumah? It's because the remaining pieces, the remaining parts, or the remaining Tanur, has a shiur, has a dimension of four Tvachim. Ha Leka Shiurav Dalet Tohar. If it didn't retain a size of four Tvachim, it would have been Tohar. And even though it wasn't divided into three parts. This is the question. In our previous source, we had seen that in order to achieve Tahara, you have to divide the Tanur into three parts. Here, it says only if the remaining Tanur has a shiur of four Tvachim. But if it's less than four Tvachim, even without dividing, it achieves Tahara. The Gemara answers, Amri, Hosam de Tzalke Mitzlak. Hocha the Avde Gistera. The two sources are not contradictory. They are describing different situations or different methods in which they were broken. Tzalke Mitzlak, you'll notice in the Rashi, the Tzalke Mitzlak, Rashi says, L'rochboy, Deshuv Eino Omeid Yofe. In that case, less than four Tvachim is sufficient. Now, what does it mean that it was cut l'rochboy? So if you notice, there's a little letter, the yud, that directs you to the shita mekubetzes, to the bottom of the page. You can see a vertical tanur standing up, and it's been cut in its width. So that if you have a situation like that, it's enough that that which remains standing is less than four tvachim. However, the other situation that the Gemara said, Hocha de Avde Gistera, if it was cut in like the little diagram you can see in the Os Yud Aleph, was cut down its length, then you have to have it in addition to the remaining pieces being less than four tvachim, it also has to be cut into three parts. The Gemara continues. Omar Mar, Shiorov Berubo. This is a quote from the recent source that we saw. Actually, before we go on in the Gemara, let us just back up because we have a bracketed section that we must read. The Gemara had mentioned that a small tanur, it said, Triloso Kolshehu. Vekama Kolshehu, the Gemara asks, how much is Kolshehu? Amri de Bei Rabbi Yanai Tefach Shekein Oisin Tanurim Benois Tefach. If it's made as a toy for children, a tanur toy, if it's a hand breadth, a tefach in height, that would be something that could absorb tuma. Now, picking up where we left off, two lines below this, Omar Mar, Shiorov Berubo, the source had said that the remaining part will mikabel tumah if the majority remains. You can see that we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating that you should skim up to find the corresponding arrow, and you'll see where this quote is coming from. Now, it seems that Shiorov Berubo is a continuation of what was described in the source as a small tanur, which we already defined as something being a tefach. If you were to read that source in its simple fashion, you would say that the original small tanur, the toy tanur, was makabel tuma if it is a tefach. And if you have a broken piece, then the remainder will makabel tuma if the majority remains. So what we're in effect saying is with the majority of a tefach. So the Gemara asks, Rubo de tefach lamai chozi, something that is, let's say, three quarters of a hand breadth, of what value is that? Of what use is that? Apparently, no one would use that. No one would play with it. It wouldn't fulfill its purpose whatsoever. So the Gemara explains that's very true, and therefore the Shiorov Berubo expression is not going on the case of the Tanur Koton. Omar Abaye, Shiore Godol Berubo. Notice we dashed underlined Godol. 50, it means, Abai is explaining that the final expression is going back on the resha, is going back on a large tanur. So that it's, we're saying that if you have a large tanur and it's broken down, if the majority remains, it will still mekabel tuma. The Gemara asks, V'amri Rabbanan Arba'a, but didn't the Rabbanan already assign a shiur of 4 tvachim? And Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan agreed to that. Lo kashya. Still, there is no contradiction. Both are true. There's a remainder of a rov and the remainder of 4. Ha betanura bas tisha. If the original tanur was 9 tvachim in height, and it's now broken down, if the remainder is the rov of 9, then it will mekabel tuma. If it's less than the rov of 9, it won't mekabel tuma. So according to this, if let us say the rov is of 9 is 4.51 tvachim, 4.5 and a mashahu, so if that which remains is 4.5 tefachim, it won't mekabel tuma because it started off as something 9. If that which remains is not the rov, it won't mekabel tuma. Ha, the standard of 4 tefachim is betanura bas shiva. If the original tanur was 7 tefachim, if that which remains is 4 tefachim after it being cut down, that would mekabel tuma. However, if the original tanur was in fact 7, but it's now 3.9 tefachim, then it won't mekabel tuma. So the two standards are correct, rov and arba. It all depends on what the original size of the tanur was. As you can see in the Gemara, we have a squiggle underlined expression, lishna achrina amrila, and to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a Roman numeral number 2. This is, in effect, a continuation of a Roman numeral number 1 that we saw on a previous daf. Just to correct ourselves, the Roman numeral number 2 appears on the left, to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text, with an indication that the Roman numeral number 1 was on Kuf Chof Gimel Amid Beis. We were dealing with the tearing of a fabric in order for it to achieve tahara. Here we see a second version of what was said originally. Omar Rav Huna Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Afilu Shir Ba Kidei Maforas. Even if there remains enough for making a turban, enough fabric in making a turban, as long as I have torn the fabric or the garment, more than half of it, more than the, in other words, I've torn the majority, even if that which remains is enough for kedema, for us, for making a turban, it will be tohor. Omrei shlokish, lo shanu elo talis. This leniency, that even if there remains a kedema for us, the tumah will be batel, will be void, that's if you're dealing with fabric. Aval or choshiv. If you're dealing with, let us say, a leather garment that you're tearing, then it, even if it, if you have kedema forus that remains, it's considered of significance, and therefore it won't be void. The tumah won't be void. Rabbi Yochanan Omar filu or nami lo chashiv. Rabbi Yochanan says that even if you're dealing with a leather garment, as long as you've torn the majority, that removes the tumah, and there is no significance to the minority that remains. Esvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan raises an objection to Reish Lakish from the following source that deals with leather. Or Tomei Medris, if you have a piece of leather that had Tumas Medris upon it. Chishev Olav Lurutsua Vesandolin, if you planned to convert this tome sheet of leather into straps or shoes, Kevan Shinosan Vo Ismail Tohor Devar Yehuda, as long as you made even a minor incision in it in anticipation of cutting it fully, that incision will render it tohor, pure. V'chachomim oimrim ad shi'amitenu mechamisha tvachim. It's going to achieve tahara provided you have cut it and it's less than five tvachim remain intact. Kimimait mi'al tohor. Well, we see from this that if you have reduced it to under five tvachim, it does achieve tahara. Amai, why do you say it achieves tahara? Lema choshiv. Why not say that if Reish Lakish is correct, that it still has significance? And yet we see that that claim doesn't hold. So Gemara answers on behalf of Reish Lakish, Hocha b'mayaskinon, deka boi le lemoishev zav. This is a case where he needs it for a mat or something for someone to sit on. Rashi says, "Ubebotzer mehachi lo chazi lemilsei." Less than five tefachim, it won't be suitable as something to sit on, and that's why, in this case, since his intention is to use it for something to sit on, since it was used for something for sitting on, it less than five tefachim, it doesn't have any significance, and therefore it's tohor. So just to go over this last point, this ore that was Tomei Medras that achieves Tara once it's reduced to less than five Tvachim, this is talking about something that had been used as a mat for sitting on, and hence once it's reduced to less than five Tvachim, it loses its significance. But otherwise, if you let us say had a leather garment, something that was not designed for sitting, then Reish Lakish will tell you that even if it's torn in the majority, since you're dealing with leather, it will still mekabel tuma. The Mishnah, or Shiesh Olav Kezayas Bosar. This is a topic that we've discussed earlier in previous sugyas. A piece of leather, or a piece of skin from an animal, let us say that's a dead animal, and hence a nevela, if the or the skin in and of itself does not communicate tumas nevela. But here we're talking about a piece of skin that has on it an olive quantity of bosar, of meat, and meat, a nevela meat communicates tumas nevela, and the kezayis is concentrated in one spot. Hanogea b'tziv hayoytze mimenu ubesayra shet kenegdoi tomei. If one touches a tziv, tziv is a strand of meat, a very like a string of meat that extends from the olive quantity of meat that is there. A little strand extends from it. Or let us say one touches a hair that's in the skin. The hair penetrates the skin and touches the Kezayas Bosar, that's opposite it. The one who touches either one of these will be Tomei. Hoyu Olav Kishne Chatzoi Zesim. On this piece of skin, let us say, you have two half quantities of meat. Now, they're ostensibly in separate locations on this, on one side, stuck to one side of the skin. Metame b'masa v'lo b'mago, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, who we will see soon is disagreed by Rabbi Akiva, he is a stricter of the two opinions, and he says that there is tumas maso, but there's no tumas mago. That means maso is if one, let's say, carries it or supports it, he will be tame because he is carrying a kezayis. Two halves is a whole. He's carrying a kezayis. However, not b'mago. Rashi explains, "V'lo b'mago di efshaliga kezayis biachad, shtei negiois ein mitstarfos." Since these two half olive quantities of meat are not touching each other, you can't have touchings join up, add up to the full amount. That's what is meant, shtei negiois ein mitstarfos, that a half touching a half and also touching another half don't join up. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo B'Mago V'Lo B'Maso. Rabbi Akiva says there is no tumah in this case of the two halves of a kezayis stuck to skin. U'moide Rabbi Akiva B'Shnei Chatzoi Zeisim Shetochvan B'Kesam V'Hesiton Shu Tomei. Rabbi Akiva will concede that if you're dealing with two halves of an olive quantity of nevela meat that you put on a stick of wood, a kesam, a stick of wood. So now you have one stick of wood that has two half quantities of nevela meat on it, and you hesiton and you moved it. Shehu tomei. Well, umipnei marbi kiva matar ba'or. So why is it that in the same case, instead of a stick where you have the two half kezesim attached to skin, does Rabbi Akiva say there is no tumah? The pnei sha'or mevatlon, because of the fact that they're attached to a slab of skin, the skin is much more significant, we'll say, than the two half quantities of meat, and hence the skin serves to void them, to mevatel them, to render them totally insignificant. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice some geometric forms here. We see Rabbi Yochanan in a diamond, and we'll see later down the page another diamond. In fact, these are two versions as to what Rabbi Yochanan says, or more accurately, what his comment is referring to. The Gemara here will make a distinction when talking about flesh sticking to skin. How did the flesh end up? How did this nevela meat get stuck to the skin? If you're skinning it, generally speaking, the purpose of skinning is to have the skin separated from the meat. So we will see a distinction made between it getting stuck, being stuck to the skin as a result of being skinned with a knife, versus a case of the animal having been attacked by an attacking animal, and ripping off skin, and in ripping off the skin, so some meat got stuck to the skin that was ripped off in the attack. In our markings, as we said, we have two versions of Rabbi Yochanan, and you can see that's indicated by the diamonds, and also we have a diamond aleph and beis to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Ula quotes Rabbi Yochanan in saying, Lo yishonu elo potasu chaya. The halacha that a kezayis of bosar that remains on the skin poses a problem, poses a possibility of tumah, that's if the... let us actually go over this point again. The kezayis sholem, we said, is not botel, that's lo shonu elo potosu chaya. That's if the kezayis quantity is present as a result of the victim having been attacked by an animal. In that case, the owner of it didn't intend for the meat to get stuck to the skin. Hence, it doesn't lose its significance. Avol potaso chasakin botil. If, however, the owner, while skinning his animal, allowed a kezayis of flesh to be, let's say, skipped over by the knife and hence stuck to the skin and not separated from the skin, apparently there was some intent on the owner's part to disregard this meat as being meat, and hence it's botel. It loses its significance insofar as the owner seemingly wanted it to be stuck to the skin. So it's viewed as skin and not as meat, and hence it won't be a source of tumah. Omalei Rav Nachman Ula. Rav Nachman asks Ula, you're telling us now that even though it's a significant amount, it's a kezayis in quantity, if the owner was skinning his animal in that fashion, allowing the kezayis to be stuck to the skin, so it loses significance. So Rav Nachman asks Ula, Omar Rabbi Yochanan afilu ketarta? Would Rav Yochanan have said, even if the quantity is larger, a tarta is a measure, Rashi says, rova hakav, for our purposes, it's something larger. Amalei in. Yeah, that's right. Even if it was a tarta in size, it would be void, because the owner skinned it in such a way that this flesh was stuck to this, was left to stick to the skin. He asks, vafilu kenafya, even if it's a nafya in size, this is something even larger. In other contexts, a nafya is a sifter, but apparently it's a specific size that was understood, which is even larger. Amalei in. So Ula says, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan intended even for that. If you're skinning it, and you allow even a large amount of flesh to stick to the skin, you apparently are not interested in it, and hence it won't present itself as a source of tumah. It will lose its meat significance, and hence its nevelah status, by being stuck to the skin. Omar Lay, upon hearing this, Rav Nachman responds and says, well, Elokim, that's an expression of, it's an expression of an oath, a swear, or in this case, an exclamation. He says, I don't accept that. He says, "Afilu omrali Rabbi Yochanan pumei lo tsayasna le." Even if Rabbi Yochanan himself would have told me this, I wouldn't listen to him. Kisolik Rav Hoshaya ashkechei l'Rabbi Ami. When Rav Hoshaya went up to Eretz Yisrael, he met Rabbi Ami. Omro l'shmaitze kamei. And Rav Hoshaya recited this give and take that we just learned, Rav Nachman and Ula, concerning Rav Yochanan's din. So Rav Hoshaya recited it to Rav Ami. Hochi amr Ula, vochi ahadur le Rav Nachman, thusly said Ula, and thusly Rav Nachman responded, including the final comment of Rav Nachman that that I wouldn't believe it even if Rav Yochanan himself told it to me. Now, that kind of reaction has an offhanded sound to it. Omar Lei, so Rav Ami said, Umishum de Rav Nachman chasne de beinasiya hu mezalzel bishmaitze de Rav Yochanan. Because Rav Nachman has the distinction of being the son-in-law of the Nasi was the head of the Jewish community. Because he has that this significant status as being his son-in-law, he takes the liberty of speaking in a derogatorily of Rabbi Yochanan's teachings. So at this point, we're getting the impression through Ula that Rabbi Yochanan was telling us that under all circumstances that a person allows flesh to stick to skin through his skinning process, there will be bittul of the flesh. It will lose its nevelah status, lose its meat status. And this, as we said, is Ula quoting Rabbi Yochanan. The impression we got from this story is that Rabbi Ami heard all of the details, and Rabbi Ami is acquiescing or acceding to this version of the story, and hence he wouldn't tolerate Rav Nachman's offhandedness in response. However, as we go on in the Gemara, things are going to change. Zimnin ashkechei di Yosef v'komar. On another occasion, Rabbi Hoshaya met up with Rav Ami. Now, Rav Ami himself saying, the Ka'omar lo aseifa, the halacha, or the distinction between animal attack and knife skinning, taught regarding the seifa. Now, the seifa features two half zasim of flesh. Let's continue in the Gemara, and we'll try to point out the difference between these two lashonos. So you can see here we have diyosa v'komar. This corresponds to the double underline before where we saw Ula quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Here, we will see very shortly Rabbi Ami quoting Rabbi Yochanan. So it was heard by Rav Hoshaya that Rav Ami taught on the Seifa. Hayu olav shnei chatzoi zesim, if on a piece of skin there were two half olive quantities of flesh, mitamin b'masa v'lo b'maglo divrei Rabbi Yishmael, there would be a possibility of tumas masa, tuma absorbed through carrying the skin with the two chatzoi zesim on it, but not through contact with the meat, touching the meat. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo b'maglo v'lo b'masa, neither possibility exists. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ela potaso chaya. This possibility of tumas masa, according to Rabbi Yishmael, is true only if the skin got ripped off through an animal attack. Avo potaso sakin votil. However, if during the skinning the two half zesim were left on, it shows us that the owner who was doing the skinning with kavana, with the deliberateness, he apparently is not interested in them, and hence it would be botel. And there would be, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, there would be no tumas masa. Amale, Rav Hoshaya, upon hearing Rav Ami's lecture and his quoting of Rav Yochanan concerning the distinction between animal attack versus skinning with a knife, Rav Hoshaya says, "Amalei mora seifo masni lo." Do you teach Rav Yochanan as a comment on the seifa? So, Omar le Rav Ami, following Rashi's girsa, we read Omar le Rav Ami, "V'ela ula aresha amra nihalichu." Well, was Ula teaching Rabbi Yochanan's comment regarding the Resha? The Resha featured a case of a full olive quantity being stuck. So Rav Ami says to Rav Hoshaya, are you telling me that Ula taught Rabbi Yochanan's distinction regarding the Resha? Amalein, yep, that there would be a distinction concerning even a full kezias, namely that if it's potasu sakin, as Ula originally taught, even if it were a full kezias, it would be botel. Omar lei, Rav Ami now reacts, Ho'alokim, Yi Omar li Yoshua ben Nun mipumei lo tzayasno lei. If even Yoshua ben Nun, the famous leader of the Jewish people that followed Moshe Rabbeinu, who is, we'll say, the first in line, so to speak, as the first receiver of the Mesorah. The Mishnah in Ovis tells us that Moshe kibol Torah miseni Mesorah liYoshua. So if someone as great an authority as Yoshua ben Nun would have told me that, I wouldn't have listened to him. So now, just to point out the significant difference between the two Lashonos, in the first Lashon, Rav Yochanan's point of potosu sakin, there could be bittul, applied even if a full kezias were left stuck to the skin after the skinning process. According to the second Lashon, namely Rav Ami's version of Rav Yochanan, the idea of something being botel applies only to a case of something less than a kezias left stuck to the skin. But if something was a full kezias left stuck to the skin, that would not be botel. Ki osa Ravin v'chol nechusi yoma amrua aresha. When Ravin came, and all the seafarers, the travelers, they all came with this sugya on their lips, and they said, they applied Rabbi Yochanan's teaching to the resha, namely that there would be bittul, even if it were a full kezias. Ah, velo kashya. Well, doesn't that raise a problem? That if it's a full kezias, which is a significant quantity, how is it that there could be bittul? In other words, if, like we learned in the first Lashon, if you say a kezias could be bittul, then even a tartar could be bittul, which is a larger quantity. And it's very hard to believe that. We saw Rav Nachman find that unbelievable. We found Rav Ami himself finding that unbelievable. So how is it that Ravin and all these other travelers insisted on teaching Rabbi Yochanan's din of Chotas of Sakin that would be bittul even for something of such significance. The Gemara answers, Kida Omar Rav Papa, as Rav Papa says elsewhere, Bimarudad, Hachanami Bimarudad. Here we are at the top of Amud Beis, and we look at the Rashi, Bimarudad. Brudad means something dak the kolush the oruch the rochav. It's a piece of flattened out meat. So if you have a situation like that of a flattened out, very thin and wide, flattened out piece of meat that's stuck to the skin, that if you were to roll it all up, you'll come out to a kezias in quantity, that will be batel. In other words, that's how these Rovin and the Nechusiyama learned that something of such significance could be batel. The Rashi at the top says, "Bimaruda dak bekolush baruch v'rochav tachim mitzarfis lehavi kezayis." When you join it all up, this thin, flat piece of flesh, when you join it all up, you'll have a kezayis in quantity miu lo torachinish u'mitzaref leh. That even though it comes out to a kezayis, people wouldn't trouble themselves to peel it off and roll it up into the kezayis. Umiu paltoso chaya delav ihu batle lo batil. However, even in a case of merudad, if it was a result of an animal attack where there wasn't any intent for it to become batel, it would not be batel. So, as at the end of the day, as far as this sugi is concerned, it would come out, let's say, looking at the final approach of the Gemara, if a clump of meat measuring a kezias were left attached to the skin, it would not be botel, even though it was potos sakin, even though it was left there as a result of the owner's intent during skinning. However, if the kezias quantity that was left attached to the skin was something flattened out and thin flattened out, even if it did measure a kezias, it would be botel. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin called the Nosei. Nosei being topic heading, and we've written Machlokas Bar Pado of Rabbi Yochanan. We'll see a controversy between these two authorities, Bar Pado and Rabbi Yochanan, but Pirush Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, in explaining the words of Rabbi Yishmael, Diafalpi Shemetame B'maso. Eino mitame b'mago. Rabbi Shmuel had said that even though the chatzizasim that are attached to the skin are mitama through carrying, they're not mitama through contact. Be'inyin shnei chatzizasim al ha'or. Within this context of the two chatzizasim, we find Rabbi Shmuel making the distinction between maso and mago. The Gemara, hoyu olav. There was on the skin the two chatzoi zesim. Omar bar pado lo shanu elo me'achorov. The din of Rabbi Shmuel that there's no tumas mago, that is only if you're touching it from the skin side, not from the flesh side. Avo milafonov yesh nogea v'chozer v'nogea. If you touch the meat directly, then we say that the two touchings, the touching of the two pieces, will result in tumas mago. So what we're saying is that the touching of it from the back side, touching it from the skin side, where you're touching it from one side and the flesh is stuck to the other side, which in general would be an example of a shomer. Shomer is the skin or the peel around some food item. And we have learned in the past that a shomer will conduct the tumah from one side to the other, to the side that you're touching. However, if it's functioning as a shomer for something less than a kezias, so the shomer status doesn't apply. So that even though we're saying that there's no din of shomer, according to Bar Pado, the two chatzizasim, if you touch them directly on the flesh side, you touch the flesh itself, then the two touchings, the touching of the two pieces, will join up and communicate tumah. Rabbi Yochanan, Omar, ein nogea v'chozer v'nogea. Rabbi Yochanan says no, that if they are less than a kezias in size, the two chatzizesim, even when you touch them directly, will not join up. Now, we have quite a piece of Gemara with regard to Gemara markings. We have a bracketed section. You can see there's a bracket length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. But we might as well point out that within this bracketed section, there will be a subsection that's also bracketed. And we call this brackets within brackets. For the first read-through, we skip the entire bracketed section, and you can see we're less than halfway down the page, but we're picking up with the expression Mosiv Rav Ukva. This Mosiv Rav Ukva represents a kasha on Bar Pado. It, in fact, is a long question, and you can see we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see a kuf that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line, indicating all of these lines form the question. At the end of the Tanaic source that you see, the Gemara says, Ve'im Esau, if Bar Pado is correct, then Hare Bo Lechlal Mago Milofonov. In this source, there was a description of something that was not capable of being contacted or touched. But if Bar Pado is correct, so then we would have said that there is contact from the meat side. And yet the source doesn't seem to reckon with touching from the meat side. So that will represent a kasha on Bar Pado. Now, we understand very well that what we're saying right now is very abbreviated and a bit abstract, so we're not making our comments with the intention of understanding the content. All we are interested in saying right now at this point in the Gemara is that later in the Gemara, that the Mosiv Rav Ukva will be a kasha on the Bar Pado that we just learned. However, before we get to that, there will be a discussion concerning Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. So now, let us go back and restate or say once it repeat Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that there is no possibility of negios joining up, meaning if you are touching two half quantities of substance, the two halves don't join up to establish a full kezias. And hence there won't be any tumas mago in the case that you're touching two half kezasim of nevela. The Gemara now, starting with the bracketed section, the Ozda Rabbi Yochanan l'tamei. Rabbi Yochanan, in saying that there isn't joining up of partial quantities, is consistent with Rabbi Yochanan, with what Rabbi Yochanan has said elsewhere. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan elsewhere has said the following. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Doisa ben Hyrkanus, Amru Dovar Echad. These two Tanoim are in agreement with one another. Who? Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Doisa ben Hyrkanus. So Rabbi Shmuel Hoda Moran, as far as what Rabbi Shmuel has said, it's that which we've already learned of Ein Nogea v'chozer v'nogea. The Rabbi Shmuel of the two half Zesim not joining up. Rabbi Doisa ben Hyrkanus, now, he also seemingly says the same thing, but in a totally different context. Disnan. We have a Tanaic source that deals with Tumas Oihel. Oihel is overshadowing. Overshadowing is a problem primarily in the case of Tumas Mace, where you have a piece of corpse meat in a on an overshadowing, overhang situation. Anything that's under the overhang simultaneously with the aleph quantity of corpse meat will also become tomei. So the source says, Kol ha-metamin bo'el shenechleku. Any item that's metama tumas oil, as is the case with corpse meat, and tumas oil, as we said, being under the same roof or overhang, shenechleku, and that became divided. So divided would mean if you had a kezias of corpse meat, but it was split into two half kezasim. V'chnisin l'soch habayas, and you brought the two half olive quantities of corpse meat into the house. Rabbi Dosa ben Hukas metayer v'chachomim metamin. We want to focus right now on Rabbi Dosa's shita. He says that there will be no tumah. It's metayer means it won't be. There will be no tumah in this case. Lav Omar Rabbi Dosa ben Hukanis Hosam, is it not so the Rabbi Yochan, that Rabbi Dosa says Ein Mahil v'chozer Mahil, that in the case of overshadowing you don't have the two half pieces that are under the same overhang joining up. Hachanami Ein Nogea v'chozer v'nogea, likewise you don't have the two half quantities that were touched able to join up. At this point, then, the Gemara's observation made concerning Rabbi Yochanan being consistent is concluded. Okay, so that once again, the Gemara made a comment that Rabbi Yochanan in saying "Ein nogea v'chozer v'nogea" is consistent with another comment of Rabbi Yochanan, whereby he aligned Rabbi Shmuel with Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. And by citing Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus of the partial quantities not joining up, and saying that he agrees with Rabbi Yishmael, it shows us that, according to Rabbi Yishmael as well, Rabbi Yochanan's perception of things is that there is no joining up. Now we have we'll call it a sub-discussion, focusing on the Tanoim that we have mentioned. But just to repeat the main point for our Gemara marking listeners, the main point within the brackets has been stated that Rabbi Yochanan is l'shitoso when he says ein nogea v'chozer v'nogea. This is Rabbi Yochanan consistent with what he said when he aligned Rabbi Dosa with Rabbi Yishmael. Now we ask a question, two lines constitute the question. Umid Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus k'Rabbi Shmuel. It stands to reason that if Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus is aligned with Rabbi Shmuel, then Rabbonon, in the source that we just had involving Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, there was also the Chachomim, the Rabbonon who disagreed with Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. It would stand that they would align with he who disagreed originally with Rabbi Shmuel, namely k'Rabbi Akiva. Yeah, but v'ha Rabbi Akiva turi kometayer. One second. But Rabbi Akiva, who was arguing with Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva represented an opinion of leniency relative to Rabbi Shmuel, where Rabbi Shmuel was willing to say that there is tumas masa, even though there's no tumas maga. Rabbi Akiva said, not only is there no tumas maga, there's also no tumas masa. So Rabbi Akiva represented an opinion of leniency relative to Rabbi Shmuel. Now, if Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus equals Rabbi Shmuel, then he who disagrees with him, we would expect to be even more lenient. But that's not the case. The Chachamim are mitame. They are stricter. They say those two half quantities of corpse meat will join up under the same overhang. So, how do we resolve this seeming dilemma, if you will, in our attempts to align the shitas? We run into this problem. The Gemara answers, really there is no problem. The fact that Rabbi Akiva, in the case of the nevela being stuck to the skin, seems to be a lenient opinion, that's not a true reflection of Rabbi Akiva's opinion in general with regard to partial quantities. The Gemara will answer that Rabbi Akiva's leniency is only in the case of the skin because of a special contingency, as the Gemara will point out. But in general, Rabbi Akiva could very well be of a strict approach when it comes to partial quantities joining up. The Gemara answers, and we've noted that this is a long answer with the marking, the tuf that's encircled, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and the descending dashed line. Ad kan lo kol metayer Rabbi Akiva ela ba'or. Up till this point, Rabbi Akiva represents an opinion of leniency that's only in the discussion concerning the skin. Avo ba'almo mitama, but in general, Rabbi Akiva would be mitama. He would tell you that two partial quantities could be joined up. Kidektoni seifa, as the seifa of our Mishnah itself indicates. Rabbi Akiva concedes that two partial quantities can join up if they are both skewered on a piece of on a stick, and you have the two half quantities, the two chatzoi zesim, and you then move them around, there will be tuma. There will be tumas nevela for the one who carries it around. So why is it Rabbi Akiva indicates a leniency in the case of skin? Because of its presence on the skin having so much more significance than these little pieces of meat, the skin causes them to be void. But if the chatzoi zesim are not attached to skin, so they won't become void. So with this internal bracketed section that we featured with our markings, we see that there is no problem in aligning the shitas as we did, Rabbi Dosi quilling Rabbi Yishmoel, and the Rabbonan, who are machmir relative to Rabbi Dosa, could be represented likewise by the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And as we mentioned earlier, at this point the Gemara has a throwback to Bar Pada. Bar Pada mentioned that there is no Tumas Mago when you touch it from the reverse side, from the skin side. However, if you touch the two Chatzoi Zesim from the flesh side, then they will join up to create Tumas Mago. On that, the Gemara raises a question. Mosiv Rav Ukva Bar Chamo. Notice we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So we have to wait to see till the end of this long question marking how the question develops. So the Gemara opens up with a quote from a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph. The pasuk quote, it says, B'nivlosam. This is referring to Tumas Nevela. V'lo b'or shiyesh olav shnei chatzoi zesim. There will be tuma, but not in a case that you have skin that has on it two half olive quantities of nevela meat. Yochol af b'masa. Will there be tahara in the case of carrying it as well? Talmulomar v'hanosei yitma. Now, the pasuk doesn't say those words exactly, but the pasuk is as featured on the side of our Gemara. Says v'hanosei es nivlosei chaves b'glod v'tomei ad ha'orev. So the pasuk is telling us that when it comes to masa, there will be tuma. So Rabbi Shmuel makes a distinction between the touching, which was represented in the opening quote, and the carrying, represented by the continuation of the pasuk, of the psukim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Hanogea v'hanosei. Rabbi Kiva is mentioning, actually, these are quotes from the two psukim, pasuk lamites and pasuk mem. In pasuk lamites, you see the word Hanogea, and in pasuk mem, the word v'hanosei. From this juxtaposition of verses, he says, he concludes, Es shebo lechlal mago, bo lechlal maso. That which is in the realm of tumas mago is considered a candidate for being in the realm of tumas maso. However, lo bo lechlal mago, if something is not capable of being touched or communicating tuma through mago, lo bo lechlal masa, then even as far as masa is concerned, there will be no tuma. So what is Rabbi Akiva doing over here? He is addressing Rabbi Shmuel and saying that your case of or sheyesh lo shnei chatzoi zesim, that you, Rabbi Shmuel, claim there is tuma, but no tumas masa. Well, let us say this again. Let's correct ourselves. Rabbi Shmuel, who said that there is tumas masa but no tumas mago, Rabbi Kiva says you can't make such a distinction. In other words, if you're saying to us that there is no tumas mago, then there is no tumas masa either. So in looking at the case of the skin with the two chatzoy zesim on it, all the Tanoim here are saying that there is no tumas mago. Well, what about Bar Pado's take on this issue? V'im Isa, if Bar Pado is correct, what did Bar Pado say? We can glance above, and he said, well, there is no tumas mago only from the reverse side. However, there is tumas mago if you touch the flesh side. The flesh side containing the flesh itself of the two half zesim. So the Gemara says, V'im Isa, if Bar Pado is correct, hare bo lichlal mago mi lefonov. There is tumas mago over here in the case of the or sheishal of shnei chatzoy zesim. So why are these tanoim suggesting that there is no tumas mago? And as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, since there is no tumas mago, there isn't even going to be any tumas masa. Omar Rava hochi ko Omar. Thusly, Rabbi Akiva means to say, and as we reread the Gemara, we will understand, we'll see how Bar Pado's din is preserved. Rabbi Akiva meant to say like this, Es shebo lechlal mago bechol tzad bo lechlal maso. That which has the potential of mago from both sides, from the flesh side and the reverse side as well, then there is tumas masa, lo bo lechlal mago bechol tzad. If, however, there is no mago from both sides, namely, but there is from one side alone, like Bar Pado said, lo bo lechlal masa, it still is not capable of coming to tumas masa. And that will be how Rabbi Akiva is saying his point of view. So with this, we also are preserving Bar Pado, that even though there may be tumas mago from touching the flesh directly, because of his opinion that yesh nogeya b'chozer v'nogeya, that nevertheless is not going to bring it to a case, a state of communicating tumas maso. And that's because of the gzeris hakosuv, or the hekish between mago in posuk lamites and maso in posuk mem. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, and we refer to it in the outside margin, the nosei, kulis stumo alibo de Rabbi Shmuel. A kulis is a thigh bone that contains a significant amount of marrow. Marrow has the din of meat, din of flesh, and if it's coming in the case of a nevela, we're raising the possibility of tumas nevela. Now, we have a bone, a complete bone, that's in effect, it's sealed. The bone contains the marrow. It's contained internally inside of the bone. According to Rabbi Shmuel, kulistum alibad Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel had made a distinction between tumas mago and tumas maso. So we're going to ask, according to Rabbi Shmuel, mahu, haim tumas maso tluyo al efsharus lamago oiloi. We're asking a question that we've touched upon, pun not intended, but we've dealt with this issue of the possibility of there being tumas maso in the case that there is no possibility of tumas mago. The Gemara. Bo minei Rav Avya Savo me Rabo Bar Avuna. We should also note that this is a long question. You can see we have a shin indicating a she'ela with a vertical dashed line. At the end of that long question, we have the O Dilma Lesle. The O Dilma being swiggle underlined, representing the other possibility. So, do we say, and here you can see we have a little Aleph and Beis. Aleph is the first possibility, and after the O Dilma, Beis, the second possibility. The Gemara says, after we read Rav Avio Sabum Rabba Barafuna, Kulis Stuma, Rabbi Shmuel Mao Shetetame, a sealed Kulis bone, according to Rabbi Shmuel, can it communicate Tuma? Isle Rabbi Shmuel, does Rabbi Shmuel hold Es Shebol Lichlal Mago Bol Lichlal Masa? Lo Bol Lichlal Mago Lo Bol Lichlal Masa? That which has a potential of Mago has the possibility of being metamba b'masa. If it doesn't have a mago potential, so there's no masa. V'hocha, hainu taimo, and here, in the case of the skin that has two half zesim on it, that Rabbi Yishmael acknowledged that there is tumas masa, hainu taimo, mishum debol lichlal mago milufonov. Well, there is tumas mago from one side. And this, by the way, is the Barpado approach. And it's noteworthy that based on the Tosfos, Rav Avyo, who's asking this question, holds from Barpado's explanation. O Dilma, or we should also point out that according to this first side of things, in the case of the Kulis, there is no possibility of Maga from any side, because the marrow is sealed within the bone. So it could be that Rabbi Yishmael will tell us that, according to the first side, because of the Mago-Maso relationship, there will be no Tuma in the case of the Kulis. Oy Dilma Lesley. Or it could be that Rabbi Yishmael does not hold from this Mago-Maso relationship, that which Rabbi Akiva had introduced, but Rabbi Shmuel, maybe he doesn't hold from that at all. And therefore, though there is no Tumas Mago, because the marrow is completely sealed, nevertheless there could be Tumas Masa. So this was a question that Rav Avya posed to Rabba. Omar Le, Rabba answered, Urva Porach. Apparently, as far as Rashi is concerned, Rabba saw a Urva as a type of bird, an Orev bird, fluttering at that moment. And Rabba said to Rav Avya, hey, do you see the bird? In other words, he didn't answer the question. He tried to change the topic. Omar Le, Rava Bray. Rava, seeing his father, Rabba, change the topic in such a, I don't know, offhanded fashion, we may say. His son, Rava, says to his father, V'lav hainu Rav Avya Sava mipompadiso, de mishabeach lon mor begave de gavra rabohu. Isn't this Rav Avya, the elder from Pompadiso, that you have praised on other occasions that he is a great man? And being that you recognize his greatness, is that the way to answer him? Amalei. So, Rabba says to his son, "Ani hayom samchuni bashishus ubo minoi milsu deboi taimo." This is a quote from the pasuk samchuni bashishus, but the point of this pasuk is that of his quote of the pasuk is, "Today I am weak," and the Rashi points out that it was the Shabbos of the holiday, and it was a day that he said a public drosha, which sapped from him a great deal of strength. And being that I'm weak, I can't concentrate. And he, Rav Avya, asked of me something that requires thought and insight, and hence I couldn't answer him. Omar Ulo, Shnei Chatzoi Zesim, Shetochvan Bekesam. Two half Zesim, half olive quantities of Nevela meat that you skewered on a piece of wood. Afilu Moiluch Umevi Kolayom Kulo Tohor. Even if you carry it around all day, there will be no tuma. My taima, why is that? Ksiv v'nasa v'karinon v'nose. What does this mean for us? Bo'inon nose v'hu denisa b'vas achas. From the difference in the way the pasuk is read, from the way it is printed, written, we learn that there is no tumas masa unless the item that you're carrying can be carried in one shot or together. In other words, for our purposes, it has to be a complete olive quantity without some intervening connecting device, like the case of the kesam, the wood skewer. So just to go over Ula's point, the Gzeres HaKosuv tells us that the two half zesim cannot be joined up by some extraneous connecting device, but rather, in order for there to be tumas maso, the tumah communicated by carrying nevela around, it would have to be a complete kezias in and of itself. At this point, we see triangles introduced. These represent kushios, questions on that al-hanal, on that which we just said. Tanan, the following source. Hoyu olov shnei chatzoi zesim, metamin b'masa v'lo b'mako, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. There was on a piece of skin, two half zesim of nevela meat. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there is tumas maso. Well, according to what Ula taught, why should there be any tumas masvo lav nisa hu? It's two half zesim that are seemingly separate on this one piece of skin, but they themselves, without the skin, they wouldn't be carried together. They wouldn't be one full olive quantity of nevela meat in and of itself. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Papa b'merudad. Really, when Rabbi Shmuel says that the two half zesim will communicate tumas masa, it's because there's a very thin piece of meat that actually attaches or is attached to the two half zesim. So this, it's in effect one continuous olive quantity piece of meat. And hence, as we said, there will be tumas masa in accordance with the Gzeres HaKosuv that Ula introduced. Toshma, well, let's try again. Another question. Moide Rabbi Akiva, b'shnei chatzoi zesim, shetochen b'kesam v'sitan shutome. Rabbi Akiva acknowledges that if you took two half zesim, half olive quantities of nevela meat and skewered them on a piece of wood and were masitan, that he is tome. Amai v'olav nisahu. Well, why should there be tumah? According to Ula's approach, it's not the two half zesim are not carried. They can't be carried in and of themselves without the kesam. The Gemara answers: Hachinami b'merudad. This is also a case of it really being one continuous piece of flesh, namely the two chatzi zesim of nevela meat were really connected with a very thin piece of meat running between the two. The Gemara now says, Kitanoi, the din of Ula appears to be a machlokes tanoim. The source says, Echod hanogea v'echod hamasit, whether you are touching or whether you are moving, there will be tuma. Rabbi Lezer Omer, af hanosei. Rabbi Lezer appears to be adding even no say. The Gemara asks, Otu no say lav mesitu? Is no say not a form of mesit? Mesit meaning causing movement. No say is really in effect the same thing. So why does Rabbi Lezer seem to add to this? Elo lav hochikoma. Rather, thusly, we have to understand the source with the two Tanaic opinions. It means, it says thusly, Echad hanogea ve'echad hamaisit b'li b'lo nisa. The Tanakama is strict. He's saying whether one touches or one causes the movement, even though the two half quantities cannot be moved together in and of themselves. The also Rabbi Lezer lemeimar v'hu dinisa. Rabbi Lezer comes to say that if you want to talk about tumas masa, it would have to be that they are able to be moved together in and of itself. Rashi, second line from the bottom, says v'hu dinisa v'koi beina mago beina masa. Whether you're talking about Maga or Tumas Masa, the Ein Metamen Afilu B'Masa L'mkein Mechuborin. That would be in accordance with Ula. Well, the Gemara asks if this be the reading that Rabbi Elazar is coming to argue with the Tanakama. The Gemara here asks, Umay Af. What's meant by the expression Af that we saw in the source itself, two lines up? You'll notice there was a dashed underline under the word Af. And you can see we also have a little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to help you find which line we're referring to. The word Af would seem to be that Rabbi Elazar isn't arguing, but he's coming to add. So the Gemara says, no, Emo v'hu denisa, that Rabbi Elazar says that there will be Tumas Masa only if it can be carried as one unit in and of itself. So, once again, what Ula said would conform to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And that's what was meant by Kitanoi, that Ula's point was a machlokes tanoim. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.